Where are my Spotify stats? I know people listen to my podcast today through Spotify, but I don't see those plays in Buzzsprout.
You have to wait until the question is over, Alvin.
Kevin muted me. If you're hearing like a mouse dinging in the background, that's me shouting.
That was so strange.
Welcome back to Buzzcast, guys. In this episode, we want to kick off with some cool announcements, some cool Buzzsprout news. Alvin, you got some fun stuff to talk about.
Yeah, everybody. So we've got a couple events coming up. September 25th, we're going to do something in Jacksonville. At our offices, there's a group of Jacksonville podcasters, the Jacks Podcast Meetup. They're on Facebook. And we're going to meet up at actually we're doing it at the Buzzsprout offices. So if you're in Jacksonville, search for Jack's Podcaster Meetup on Facebook and join the group. We'd love to have you. And then October 10th through 13th, we're going to be at She Podcasts Live. We just did a big promo and we gave away a bunch of tickets. Hopefully some of you listening won those tickets. So a bunch of us are going to go to Atlanta. And it's going to be a really awesome time. So it's the first conference for female podcasters, and I think it's going to be amazing.
And Priscilla, are you going to be there as well?
I am going to be there, Travis.
Oh, well, welcome to Buzzcast, Priscilla.
Thanks.
Yeah. So Priscilla's back to give us more support questions at the end to see how we do, but she'll be hanging out with us today. Good to have you.
Yeah, I'm excited.
So we just had a hurricane pass by Florida. If you're wondering, why didn't Buzzcast come out last Friday? Well, Hurricane Dorian is why.
I have a surprised look on my face. I didn't know we were supposed to launch last Friday.
Oh,
we were
yes.
supposed to publish an episode. We missed it.
Yes, every other Friday.
Oh, man. Sorry.
That's all right. But sometimes life just happens. And so I thought it'd be a good discussion because a lot of the conversation around publishing frequency and, you know, general... you know, best practices for podcasting is be consistent, right? Mm-hmm. Make sure that you put out episodes consistently so your audience can rely on you. They know, hey, every other Friday you're coming out with an episode. But there might be some instances where, you know, it's okay to miss an episode.
Yeah, I think there's a difference between if your show is evergreen content that is not time specific, it's not important, it's not like a news show, and if it's a little bit more current events focused. So for this show, we always record it right before we release it. And we want to be able to talk about, hey, we're doing this in a couple of days. Hey, this is happening in the industry. Oh, this company was just acquired. For us, we can't ever really schedule them ahead. But if you can schedule your show ahead, we always recommend trying to be a few ahead so that you have the opportunity to miss one, miss a recording, but not fall behind.
Yeah, batching your recordings is a really great way to kind of get a queue built up to give you some margin, some space. And I know for all of our evergreen content, like for 5 Minute Monday podcast episodes, for instance, we do those like a month, month and a half at a time. So over the course of 2 days, we'll record 5 to 6 episodes and schedule them out so that even when we do have a hurricane, you know, that Monday still coming out with a new episode. What do you think, Kevin?
Well, I feel unqualified to answer since I didn't even know that we were supposed to publish last week. I completely missed that. Yeah, I think like you said, sometimes life just happens. The office was pretty quiet last week because people were preparing for the hurricane that never came. And yeah, that stinks. It stinks when you miss it. We have had people write in before, post in our Facebook group, like... I can't remember exactly what happened, but we were doing every 2 weeks, and then I think we were supposed to come out on a Friday, and I think we missed that Friday for some reason. We're probably the worst at this. So I think the advice that we can give is that there's life after not being consistent. There's life after not hitting your publishing schedule. I don't know. Again, Travis, you might be able to say, but I don't know that it's hurting our download numbers too much. I think it's not a great – it doesn't show a lot of respect for your audience, which I don't feel good about. And that's why I'm shocked and disappointed that we were supposed to release last week and it completely fell off my radar. Yeah, I don't know what to say. I just feel terrible right now.
Have any of you read Atomic Habits? James Clear?
James Clear. I have heard lots of good things about it and I have every intention of someday in the future picking it up from the library. But
he had this really popular blog and it's all about building habits. and a lot of habits are building consistency. And so I think of podcasting as being a habit. And there's like that old Jerry Seinfeld, like, don't break the chain. He would write 15 minutes of jokes every day and put an X on the calendar. And he'd say, I can't break the chain. And what James Clear talks about, he goes, you know, one reason that's not a great method for people is when they say, I can't ever miss a day. I can't ever miss a week. What ends up happening is when they break it once, they go, well, I'm a failure. It's all over. And I guess he actually has some research backing this up, but in Atomic Habits, he talks about missing one day is not that bad. Missing one week isn't that bad. It's when you miss two in a row, almost everyone falls off the wagon. It's over. So maybe one of the things is if you miss one podcast episode, really make sure you don't miss two. You want to make sure that you get back to get being consistent. And I think like Kevin was saying, maybe it's a good thing to address it and say, hey guys, I'm sorry I missed this, but I'm going to try to be more consistent in the future.
What are your thoughts about, I know sometimes the podcast that I listen to, if they miss a week, they'll replay like an older popular episode. What are your thoughts on that? Like kind of keeping the, so you keep the rhythm, even though if it's a replay.
I've totally done that before. Specifically what I was trying to nail down an interview with somebody and, you know, I was being undisciplined and waiting to the last minute and then they had to cancel. And so I was like, well, I need to put out an interview episode. So let me do a mashup of some other interviews that had like some cool segments and just put together a Frankenstein's monster of an episode. And it did really, you know, relatively well. So there are some different things you can do to be creative, like repurposing old podcast content. If the interview or not having the content available is keeping you from publishing an episode, you can totally do that. And there are even podcasts that I know of that they make that a part of their normal strategy.
Yeah, like, I think about it, This American Life. I feel like they do a lot of kind of, because they have such a big archive, they pull a lot.
Yeah.
Well, and it's like, I think as podcasters, we think everyone has listened to every episode and remembers everything we've ever said, which is actually not true, surprisingly enough. but yeah, so if you have like this really golden gem of an interview, you can republish it on an annual basis and there are going to be new people that have discovered your show that haven't gone back to listen to your archive that would appreciate that. I know that I've appreciated it when, even if I've listened to the interview, it's like I'm really just ingraining it further into, okay, what are the takeaways that I wanted to pull from this interview to apply to my life? And so yeah, republishing older content, even if you don't freshen it up and you just have a little intro that says, hey, this interview was amazing and I just want to make sure that every single one of you gets an opportunity to listen to it. So here it is again. Here are my big takeaways. Enjoy the interview. Like you can totally do that as a fallback, as a plan B, if you don't have fresh content to put out.
Yeah.
I've seen like news shows do this, even if the content didn't make sense. Even if the content is a few months old, what they've done, I've seen this on The Daily. It's if there's a news story that's kind of coming to a conclusion. So we're recording this right after John Bolton leaves the White House. They would do something like go back to when he was hired and they'd play a little bit about when he was hired to kind of go, here's something that happened in the past and here's some continuity for what's happening near the end. And so I wonder if maybe you're a news show, you know, we're going to miss something. Maybe say, is there something topical in the past that I could pull from? Because you don't want to just throw in a random show. It's like, hey, next week, this is going to be a really cool conference that everybody's going to. It's in 2016. People are like, why did you put this in the feed?
Yeah. No, I think just like from a 30,000 foot view perspective, it's not the end of the world if you miss an episode. And that's kind of like what Alvin was talking about with the Atomic Habits book. Mm-hmm. It's not the end of the world. You are not a failure of a podcaster because you missed an episode or you missed a week. And then when you come back on, be like, hey guys, sorry I missed the episode. And if you feel comfortable sharing details from your personal life or what happened, you can totally do that. And ironically, that makes your listeners fall in love with you even more because they're like,
authenticity.
Yeah, it's like, okay, this is an actual person that I can relate to because my life is crazy too. So now I know we're both in the same boat. We both have crazy stuff that happens. So it's not the end of the world. I think if you're just upfront about it and authentic and like, hey, sorry we missed the episode. Here's why, but we're back. Like, that is totally a great strategy.
Yeah, in hindsight, it makes me think that if I had realized that last week was a published week for us, I would have loved to come in the studio and just recorded a little 2-minute thing of here's what's going on in the office and no one's here and here's why. And we'll be back next week. We'll get caught up. Apologize. And stick that in the feed for a week. And then when we do get our next episode out, you can always pull that out of your feed. But it's great for people who've subscribed to your show and are like, hey, it's Friday. Why is the new Buzzcast episode out? That would have been nice for them to have something that they could have heard and understood what was going on and why we missed.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about some old microphones.
Yes. So this past week, we published our best podcast microphones, 2019, exhaustive, you know, concordance, blog, epic guide. I put it together, so that's why I'm adding all these superlatives. But yeah, so we put out a blog post talking about what we think are the best podcast microphones right now. And so I thought that'd be a good opportunity for us to talk about just our the things that we like, the things that we look for in microphones, why we make certain decisions about microphones we recommend or microphones that we use in the studio, because there are thousands of microphone options out there. And there are certain ones that come up frequently that are suggested and recommended frequently. And then there are kind of like our reasons for why we chose the ones we put in the blog. But I just want to ask you guys if you have a favorite podcast microphone. And if it's the one you're talking into, that's totally fine too.
My favorite microphone is the Shure SM7B. I think I'm partial to it because it looks cool.
It does look really cool.
And I saw it in a bunch of Joe Rogan photos before we were buying mics. And then I was like, oh, this one looks really good. I have no clue if it's actually that much better, but I like it.
It does have like a stealth fighter vibe to it, like this gunmetal black.
Yeah, we'll need to put a link in the show notes so that you can go see photos of all of the mics that we're talking about.
Hard to go wrong with the Shure SM7B. What about you, Kev?
Yeah, I've got the same mic in front of me, and I like it. I don't know. Priscilla's using a, I don't want to steal your thunder, but you're using a PR40, which I've used before, and I don't know, man. I don't know that they sound that different. And I get annoyed at the way things sound sometimes. Like I'm hearing the AC coming through our headphones right now. And so I don't know that my ear's that bad. I just think all of these microphones are really good.
Yeah.
You know?
It definitely reaches a point where what separates one microphone from another is like really ticky-tack, really nitpicky. And it's almost like, well, what sound profile are you looking for that complements your voice and the mood and the tone of your podcast? Like you can get super granular with trying to figure out what is the perfect microphone, which is always difficult when someone asks, well, what microphone should I get? It's like, well, I don't know anything about you. So starting from zero, here are three that you probably can't go wrong with.
I think for most podcasters, my recommendation is the ATR 2100. It's a $65 microphone that gets you 90% of the way there. It's like, it sounds awesome. Looks great, and it's like you can't break it. It's like this is
pretty indestructible.
A pretty great pickup for anybody looking to start a podcast.
Yeah, when we set up the mobile podcasting studio, we always set up different microphones so people can, you know, if there's one that they're familiar with that they like, they can just sit down behind that, or if there's one that they're interested in maybe buying or evaluating, they can try it. And so I think the last time we set it up, we had an SM7B, we had a couple of Rode Pod mics, we had ATR 2100s in there. And so throughout the course of the week at Podcast Movement, I was behind each one of those at different times. And gosh, they've ranged from, you know, $65, like Alvin said, up to 400 plus. And you can't really tell the difference all that much. Sorry, microphone manufacturers, really pulling out their hair that I'm saying that right now.
But. Yeah. And it's interesting. So the microphone I'm using right now is the Rode Procaster. This is the one that I kind of cut my teeth on. When I was first getting started, once I graduated from, you know, a USB condenser mic that shall not be named. And yeah, when I was doing research, when I was listening to different kind of audio clips of the microphones, I was trying to decide between the Procaster and the SM7B. And it was like, okay, the SM7B, if you go and buy it online, is about $400. It's a great microphone. You can use it to record literally anything. It'll sound good. You can even put it on like a kick drum and a drum set. You can use it to record a guitar and a vocal, like, and they all sound great. With podcasting, you can get more specific and get like a broadcast vocal specific dynamic microphone. save a little bit of cash. And the difference in this audio quality is really negligible. Like the Procaster, you can get online for $230. So almost half the price of the SM7B. Yeah. And if all you're doing is recording your voice for a podcast, it's a great option. Same thing with the Heil PR40. It comes in under $300. And so it is interesting. Like, you think, I really want this microphone, and then you come up with all these reasons why it's the one you have to have. But at the end of the day, as long as you choose a dynamic microphone, you know how to use it well, and you have a relatively well-treated recording environment, then you can really have a fantastic podcast with a $65 microphone.
Yeah. What do you think, Press? What do you use? I know you've recorded a few podcast episodes of your own in here. Where do you set up?
Usually I use whatever Travis sets up for me. Thank you, Travis.
You are welcome.
And I kind of I think I agree with Kevin. I don't hear a huge difference, but I haven't personally been podcasting long enough, I feel like, to have enough of kind of experience in listening to the playback of my own voice through different microphones. But I do like the look of the one you guys are using.
Yeah,
that you
SM7B.
Mentioned. Yeah.
It definitely like looks good on camera. That is for sure. That is for sure.
And it makes me feel very professional.
So I posted this on Reddit yesterday, and it got a lot of feedback. Do you want me, maybe we can do a quick comments from Reddit?
Oh, boy. This is about our...
I'll bleep all the
this
expletives.
This could be a fun segment.
This is about our blog post, right? You posted
our
blog post.
Yeah, so we posted the blog and just seeing what people like. So here's one. We bought an ATR2100 right after we started, and it's worked perfectly for 2 years. Not sure if we'll ever upgrade. We get a ton of compliments on our sound.
And so, that's the $65 microphone that Albin referenced at the beginning of the segment.
Yeah. Here's someone who really likes one called the Aston Stealth. Do you know what mic that is?
I've come across it a couple times. I've never personally used one, so I can't speak on any authority about how good it is, but I have seen it pop up here and there.
This person's really surprised it hasn't been mentioned and thinks it'll become more popular you don't need extra gear for gain boosting. Maybe somebody works for Aston Stealth.
Yeah. That's our email address at Aston Stealth.
Yeah. We've got a guy who loves the Blue Yeti. He says, though, you've kind of got to make sure you're doing the soundproofing right.
Yep.
I know you've got some opinions on that, Travis.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that was the microphone that shall not be named. So that's what I started with, because I asked my buddy who's a video guy, and this is before I knew anything about podcasting. And I was like, what's a good microphone? And he was like, this one seems to be good. So I bought it, and I was like, this is the best microphone I've ever used. This is great. And then 3 months later, I'm like, why is it so echoey in this room that I've treated well? Like, I'm just having trouble getting the sound to come out right. And I started getting really frustrated with it. Simply because when you have a condenser microphone, just the way that it's built and designed, you're not going to be as close to it as you are with a dynamic microphone.
Right.
And so it's naturally going to pick up more reverb, more echoes, more of that ambient background noise. So condenser mics are beautiful, wonderful microphones when they're in a really controlled environment. But that's not most podcasters. Most podcasters are in a spare bedroom, in a living room, even at a dining room table. And so you want something that's going to be a little more forgiving with the recording environment, which is why we typically recommend dynamic microphones.
Yeah, I think if there's one product we could take off the market that would make the whole podcasting industry better,
oh boy,
it would be the Blue Yeti microphone. And again, it's not that you can't use that tool and get good quality sound out of it. It's just that it's difficult to do. And so for most people who are getting into the podcasting space, they're not radio professionals who have been doing this for years. They don't have sound studios all set up. And then they go out and buy a tool that really needs that type of environment and that type of training to get good quality sound. So it should be off the market. It's a pain for people. It causes more pain than the problems it solves. So, and again, if you use it and you get good sound out of it, then fantastic. And I'm really excited for
Mazel
you.
Tov, yeah.
And I'm not against you in any way. I'm not hating on you. I'm hating on the fact that they're selling this product and targeting it towards newbie intro podcasters and selling it as an intro podcasting solution, and I don't really think it is.
Especially when you consider that it's twice as much as the 2100. So you can literally buy two ATR 2100s for the price of one Blue Yeti. Mm. So yeah, it's we highly recommend dynamic microphone, and if you need a USB option, go with the 2100.
Right. Right, unless you have training and a studio and know exactly how to get great sound out of it,
And then and then you're probably not buying a Blue Yeti, right? Then you're probably buying something else.
Yeah.
So we got some more votes for the Rode NT1. We've got some Procasters, people who like that. I've got someone down here who is waiting for their pod mics to be delivered. They said they're out for delivery and they're excited to see how they sound.
We so really like those
pod mics.
Pod mics
are good, but you're going to need a pop filter. The built-in one's not quite enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we take those to Podcast Movement when we set up the booth and people really like it.
Yeah.
Every time we put them out, people are like, oh my gosh, is that the pod mic? The only difference, if you're by yourself and you're doing a new setup, it's not as good as the ATR2100 is. You can't plug them right into the computer. They've got to run through the Scarlett 2i2 or some other audio interface.
Yeah, it's pod mics are XLR microphones. Yeah. So if it's just you and your computer, you want to get something that has a USB connection, which is where the 2100 has its strength because it has both XLR and USB. But yeah, the pod mic has a really great, clean, crisp, bright tonality to it. Especially when you consider that it's $100. It's like it's a really, really fantastic $100 XLR microphone.
Yeah. So if you want to hear examples of how all these mics sound, one of the cool things Travis did in his post was not only does he review them and pull together what makes them different, but actually solicited podcast episodes that were recorded on each mic. So you can learn about some new podcasts. You can hear some exact examples of people who picked those mics for their voices. And you can get a feel for how they all sound. So we'll put a link to the show notes to that blog post.
Yes, we will.
Yeah. And don't be afraid to try before you buy. So if you buy from a store that has an easy return policy like Amazon, you can try a 2100. And if you don't like it, you can send it back. If you have a guitar center in your local town, you can go there and they can plug in microphones for you and you can put on headphones and listen to yourself. Every microphone is going to interact differently depending on your voice. So don't worry about like Albin and I, we just sit down behind ones that look good. Try to find one that sounds great for your voice. Test as much as possible. Use return policies. They're there, you know, for the customer's benefit. Find what works great for you and go with it.
And if you're coming to She Podcasts, we'll have the booth there so you can come test them out in the booth.
Yeah. Ooh, good plug.
Good idea.
Good plug.
Thanks.
Yeah. So you can come and reserve a time to record a fun, spontaneous podcast episode with somebody you meet or just to test them out and see which one you like.
Yeah.
So Priscilla is back because we wanted to do some more customer support questions to test myself, Albin, and Kevin in our general knowledge. Albin is hovering his finger over the sound pad, just waiting for the perfect moment to bring it in.
Oh, wow, everybody is very excited for this segment.
Priscilla, we are super pumped. And just to refresh your memory on the scoreboard, Kevin won our first battle a couple episodes ago.
Battle.
So, yeah, It's intense here. Everybody wants to come away with a W. So, Priscilla, what is your first customer support question for us?
Okay, this first one is a doozy. Can I pay for my Buzzsprout account annually?
Ding, ding.
Oh, Kevin?
Are we buzzing in?
Yeah, I know, I like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I like this. I like the dinging in.
Okay. Yes.
I think that's good. So, Kevin's is the ding, ding. What's your sound effect going to be? Okay.
I'll do an actual bell.
Albin, is yours? What's yours? Awooga.
All right. Awooga.
So I think Kevin,
I think I might also be a ding. I think we could all do dings.
Well, then you got to do three dings because we got one, two, and three.
We'll sort it out in post.
All right. So do you just want the answer?
Yeah.
Like cut and dry, or do you want the most complete answer?
So I want you to tell me if it's a yes or a no, but I also want to tell you, I want you to tell me and our listeners why we do it that way and why we don't offer annual. Ooh, I just gave it away.
You can't get points off this now.
Then you can answer the second part.
Okay, so the answer is no. And the reason, there's a lot of reasons. So I'm not exactly sure the reasons that you would go into in a support response. But the easiest and simplest explanation for the customer's benefit is that we want you to only pay for what you use. And so a lot of times when these companies sell annual subscriptions, if you decide to cancel early or want to stop for whatever reason, it gets super complicated in how we kind of prorate those credits. There's also an expectation of a discount if I pay for a year up front. Mm-hmm. And then so then you have to like back out that discount if you try to do a refund or something like that. So for all of those reasons, we're not big fans of complexity at Buzzsprout.
Yeah.
And so we just like if you want to podcasts, like, just pay us a monthly fee. And when you want to stop podcasting, you can stop paying that monthly fee. And we don't have a super complicated relationship that we have to untangle should we ever decide to stop.
Is it not also because someone, I'm just throwing this out there, had a terrible experience with a former cell phone provider and was like, I hate getting locked into these 2-year plans. I want a month to month. I want Boost Mobile. Did that subconsciously play into it?
I don't know that it did.
I thought there was actually going to be a story behind it. You're looking at kind of like there's some, do you have some bad,
did I tell you some story about that? I don't remember.
We
really.
All have stories.
Yeah.
About
I mean,
that.
Nobody it's likes a universal that story. Feeling of being locked into something. So, I mean, we don't want to set people up into like feeling like I have to enter into a contract in order to get 10% off or whatever. We try to keep our prices as low as possible and give those, make them available to everybody. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
So I'm going to chime in here and say the answer is no. We do not offer annual contract subscriptions. So I just want to get my foot in the door for the point system. That's all.
Oh, I see.
Don't think you get points for that.
I don't know.
Yeah. If you say the same thing I did.
First of all, you didn't ding. Yeah. You ding, said ding, ding. I'm going to chime in. So I don't think
Travis
that's a recorded.
I'm just trying to stretch the rules a little bit. Trying to come away with a W.
Yeah, I think. Do you have anything to add, Alvin? I think.
Yeah, I would add that. In all the marketing stuff that I read, a lot of different software companies are like, push the yearly plan. That locks people in forever. And if they cancel, look how much money you got. And it's like, it makes your numbers a lot better. And then I read it and I'm like, oh my gosh, we'd make so much more money. And then we're like, wait, but then someone's going to cancel and write in and go, hey, podcasting wasn't for me. And what are we going to do? Write back and say, sorry, buddy. Should have thought about that earlier. Like, we're just going to write back and go, yeah, that's really not cool. You know, here's your $100 back. And so, you know, I think that it is sometimes it really is this like trick to lock people in for a year so they can't change to a new provider or they can't change their workflow if it doesn't work for them. Or if they don't like podcasting, they can't, you know, just stop. Mm-hmm. And so it really just doesn't fit with what we do. So I don't know. If it would ever be something we'd offer.
All that said, there is a case where people work for a corporation or an organization where putting stuff on a credit card for a monthly recurring subscription doesn't work well for that organization.
Yeah.
And so there are specific people that find it difficult to sign up for Buzzsprout because we don't offer yearly. Mm-hmm. And so we are thinking about ways to solve that problem. But we want to solve it from a perspective of not because we're trying to lock you in, just because your organization has a specific use case that's outside of what we currently account for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And giving users the freedom to move between plans throughout the year if they end up recording longer episodes than they expected to and they need 6 hours instead of 3, not being stuck to the 3 limit and having to pay overage if they're constantly going over that limit.
Well, so, that's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So do I have to give a point?
We're just going to give that to Kevin.
I think I'm going to give it to Kevin. He chimed
Thank
in
you.
First. Okay. So don't forget you have to chime in.
Yes, yes.
All right. So the next question is, this is kind of taken from an email that has come in multiple times. Where are my Spotify stats? I know people listen to my podcast today through Spotify, but I don't
see
those plays
in
Buzzsprout.
Ding, ding, ding.
You have to wait until the question is over, Alvin.
Kevin muted me. If you're hearing like a mouse dinging in the background, that's me shouting.
That was so strange. I didn't notice that Kevin had muted you, so I heard you, but I couldn't hear you.
Sorry, accident.
All right, Alvin jumping the gun.
All right, Alvin, go for it.
All right.
Where are the Spotify plays?
So let's talk about some stat stuff. So you've got stats coming from all sorts of different places, and we aggregate all of those together in our stats package. So you're getting stats from Apple Podcasts and from Stitcher and Spotify and Google Podcasts and hopefully everywhere else. So where are the Spotify stats? I know someone listened today. The way Spotify does it is we can't collect those stats ourselves. They host the audio file. So they are actually tracking all those stats and then they send them to us, but they send them with a delay. And I believe it is a 3-day rolling delay. And so if someone listened today, we will not know that for 3 more days. As soon as we know, we'll update the stats for you to be able to see. But with Apple, those are only really on a 3-hour delay because that's just how we cache the stats page. Mm-hmm. So I feel like I'm adding a lot of detail because I'm very afraid of not winning this point.
And I'm gonna ding in here and add that if you want up-to-date stats, as instantaneous as possible. Spotify just released their Spotify Podcasters dashboard that you can go in, claim your show with the email that's associated with your RSS feed, and then they have their own set of stats, just like Apple has Podcast Connect.
Right.
And so if you want to get real-time stats from Spotify, and they track some other stuff that they don't pass along to us, like listeners and things like that, like specific to Spotify.
Data.
Yeah. And so that's another place you can go and get stats as well for Spotify.
Right. Like if you want to see the like gender breakdown of your of podcast listeners, you can only get that through Spotify's dashboard. They don't provide that to us in the data they send.
Right. And that might be helpful to you. Like if you're trying to figure out, okay, I want to do an affiliate product that I want to promote, but this one that I really like is really more for men or more for females. Well, let me see. Okay, 80% of my podcast listeners are men. So I'm going to go with the one that's more male-centric because it makes sense for my audience. So that's where that data could be helpful for you if that's something that you're doing.
Mm. Kevin, I saw that you had something to add to Alvin's original answer. What was that?
Well, I mean, I don't want you to lose any points.
I think Alvin's going to get the points at this point for that question.
Even with my genius
insight. Let's go ahead and award the points.
That was genius insight. Good job.
I don't want to be a dirty player.
I want half a point. All right.
But you did say our stats run a 3-hour delay. Is that right?
Yeah, the caching on the stats.
Yeah, and I think the caching is still at 6 hours.
Yes. I think as of now, it is still at 6 hours. Yeah.
There's still plenty of time between now and Friday to change that, Alvin.
There are some real-time stats within Buzzsprout, and that's on your episode page. It shows your real-time count.
But even those won't show your Spotify.
Right, not Spotify.
There. Yeah. Right. Yeah. All right, so Alvin, you get that point. So,
All right.
Question three.
I kind of want to give Travis a half point for his additional.
Whoa. Look at
this.
No, I am right.
Does it say
3 hours now?
Nice.
Yeah. Alvin says 3 hours now. John must have done a little sneaky update.
Good job, Alvin.
I literally just edited the HTML on this page to say 3 hours. Yes, it's 6 hours.
Well,
I pulled it up on my computer, edited it.
I'm sorry. All right, there we go. All right.
So many sound effects.
All right. this is going to be a joy to edit. All right.
Yep. Yeah, well, all right. You got something more, Kevin?
I mean, I felt bad correcting him from 3 to 6, but now he's a cheater and a liar.
Take that point away, Priscilla. Award it to the person with the genius insight.
All right.
This is the last question, and it's a 3-part question, so let me read all three out first.
That's right. No jump on the gun,
Alvin.
Start
dinging in.
All right.
How do directories update with my new episodes? When will my changes throw up? When will my changes show up in my listings, and will my subscribers get my episodes immediately?
Ding, ding, ding.
Alvin.
All right, Alvin.
Kevin rolled his eyes.
What am I? You're over here doing your quick things.
Well, I mean, I grabbed the first one. You grabbed the second one. The polite thing to do would be let Travis have a go at it. But if you want,
that's right.
I was digging in, and
this is a
what
battle.
I wanted to,
Kevin, you said this was a battle.
That's true.
Maybe we all take one of the third of this.
Yeah.
You know what, Alvin?
I'm a little league baseball coach. I'm still like every kid gets to bat.
Everyone's a winner.
So when I played little league, the coach 1 year let us have one game where one of the other kids and I managed, and we won. But it was because when we looked back at it, we were like, none of the bad kids got to play infield, and their rule had been everyone gets to play infield. So a little more competitive than the nice little league coach.
Yes. Well, I don't have a great answer for this, so Alvin, I'll actually defer to you.
All right. Well, I'll start off with number three because this is the one that is so important. If your podcast isn't showing up in Apple Podcasts yet, the new episode, your listeners are still getting it because your listeners are just like Apple Podcasts. They're just connecting to the feed. And when they see a new episode, they will download it. So it's often possible that people have already listened to your show even before it shows up in your Apple Podcast listing. Apple Podcasts is no longer in the middle. Now for Apple Podcasts.
Well, that's specifically for subscribers, not just for listeners. If you have a listener that's not subscribed and they always go to your listing, then they won't get it right away.
Correct. So I'm already down to half a point.
I just wanted to clarify that's specific to
subscribers. We want to give good answers here. So that's good.
Accurate.
Yes.
Yes.
So if someone's already subscribed, they will get the podcast automatically.
Yep. Now, pretty quickly. As soon as your app updates. Yeah. With the new episode. Okay, sorry, go ahead.
So Apple Podcasts mostly takes 24 hours. Within 24 hours is how often they check the listings. Some apps like Overcast actually use a algorithmic way of deciding how often to check. So really popular episodes, they're checking a really popular podcast. They check like every 30 minutes. Mm. And as you get less popular, then it's back down to a day. So some are a little bit smarter about that. Spotify is near instantaneous because we will go, hey, here's that new episode, and they'll do it pretty quickly. Kevin is shaking his head, so I'm now probably going to lose 0 points.
What do you think, Kevin?
They are quick, but it's not because we tell them anything. It's because they check every 5 minutes.
Yeah, and I think it's actually changed. When they first started, it was like every 5 to 10 minutes, and I think now it's closer to an hour. It's still pretty quick, but it doesn't always show up within 5 minutes. It's usually closer to an hour, I'm seeing anyway. Yeah.
Google Podcasts is the fastest if you use the
Pub Sub Hubbub.
I always remember it starts with Pub Sub because I love public sub. Subs.
Hubbub.
So it's Pub Subs Hubbub. Yep.
Pub Subs.
All right. So what is this bubbly thing that we're talking about? We probably need
a Pub Sub Hubbub.
Google wanted to do this thing. Mostly what happens now is everyone who subscribes to a podcast checks and they're like, hey, has a new podcast episode come in? And you're always asking over and over. New one? No. Yes. Well, Google said, what if you just came to us and said, hey, Google, Pub Sub Hubbub.
Yes.
Hey, Google, we just put up a new episode. And they go, cool. And then they go to all of the subscribers and they go, hey, guys, check it out. New episode's up.
Right. Maybe the analogy to simplify it would be like if you're waiting on a really important piece of mail and you keep, you know, checking your mailbox. It wouldn't it be a lot easier if when the postman put the letter in your mailbox, he just rang your doorbell?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what the Pub Hub Sub Hub.
Or like how Amazon does it when they put the box down and then they bang on your door.
Right.
And then you think you're being attacked and then you open the door and you have the box.
Yes.
Right.
Okay. So what were the 3-part questions? I want to make sure we actually answer the question.
So the first one was how do directories update with new episodes? And so I think we touched on that and we got that.
Just depends.
And then when will my changes show up in the listings? And so that, like Alvin said, varies kind of between different directories. Apple Podcasts usually is about 24 hours where it will show in your listing. And then some other ones like Spotify are quicker than that. And then when will my subscribers get my episodes, or when will they get them immediately? And so we talked on that too. Alvin got that one.
Nice. Sorry. Now I actually have a personal question. So
is this the place, Travis?
Well, no. So when you go into Buzzsprout, let's say that you want to update your audio file, like there's something you wanted to change or tweak. And so you mm-hmm. have your episode already listed in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, sure. Google Podcasts, but you want to upload a new audio file and then save that.
Sure.
What is that refresh process like?
Yeah. So it's the same as if you were uploading a new episode. Once it's published or once it's replaced within Buzzsprout, which can take, I think, like 2 to 5 minutes for us to replace the episode or that audio file, then that process starts and the directories will see it when it's changed. It used to be that Spotify, you had to kind of tweak the title a little bit so that Spotify could see the new episode because of the way they check for changes. But recently we updated that, and so you no longer have to change the title, which is nice and helpful for people who are updating that audio file.
Now, remember, like if you're replacing an audio file, anybody who has downloaded that episode, it's not going to re-download it for them. So if I subscribe to your show in Overcast and I listen to it and I'm like, hey, Priscilla, that was a really inappropriate joke that you made in your podcast. And you're like, oh, gosh, you're right. I shouldn't have said
that. This example is very unlikely to happen. It's the other way around.
It's very hypothetical, yes.
I'm going to replace that audio file, and you replace it, and then you're like, I got rid of that joke. That was a bad call, and then I play it again. Like, I still have that episode downloaded, so I'm still hearing that inappropriate joke. The only way, if that happens and you need to take something down, you need to remove that whole episode. That should pull it from their feed. It should delete it from the app cache and then replace it with a new episode.
Yep.
So awesome.
That's
all right.
True.
All right. Priscilla, were you keeping track of the points?
Yeah, I think Alvin wins this week. I think Alvin got 2 points.
Yep,
good job,
yep.
Alvin.
Well done,
I'm
Alvin.
Really liking all these sound effects. This is great.
Hard to tell.
All right. So the first battle went to Kevin. Second battle went to Alvin.
Yes.
You're up next, Travis.
I know. I'm like the red iguanas on, you
you're
know,
like the David
the temple.
Almond and Kevin are Goliath and you're David.
Gotta fight
wait,
back.
Wait. Doesn't Goliath lose?
Well, first he wins a bunch and then at the end, yeah, he loses.
Gets a little overconfident, great, a little cocky, and then, you know, the young upstart, you know, comes in. So if you have any questions about your podcast, about Buzzsprout, feel free to reach out to our support team. They're fantastic. Priscilla and Addie do a great job of keeping all of our customers super happy. And you can write in at support@buzzsprout.com. Mm-hmm. And then if you just want to have like some back and forth, talk to some other podcasters about something you're thinking about or wrestling with or a strategy question, then the best place to do that is to go into our Buzzsprout podcast community on Facebook, which is where you can interact with different podcasters, ask questions, post things, share things. And so it's a great opportunity to do that as well. If you have something that you want us to talk about on a future episode of Buzzcast, definitely feel free to make a post in that Facebook group, and we'll catch you guys next time.